for us this week as was in revival meeting over in Marion, North Carolina. The Lord sure enough met with us a few nights over there. In fact, the message I'm going to preach this morning is not the same message I preached on Wednesday, but this message was born out of that message that I preached on Wednesday. And I had somebody call me and asked me back the first week, said, "What are you preaching for Resurrection Sunday? What are you preaching? Tell me what resurrection message you got." I said, "I ain't got one yet." And I said, "I don't know what I'm going to preach. I ain't no telling. We don't just preach to the calendar around here." But Wednesday night after the service, I was riding back home, and Brother Larry, I got thinking on some things that I had preached through, and God made a connection to something in my heart that I want to give to you this morning out of Mark chapter number 14. Let's stand together. It's a good crowd in the house of the Lord. I sure appreciate you being here. And I've got a very special guest here this morning. I met Billy from New Jersey yesterday. And she's here with Vito and Jenna. I get that right. Appreciate them being here. And I met them. There's the last house that I knocked on that side of town where we started. And we had one other little area. A few of us went and hit and got to meet them on yesterday. So I'm glad you're here, Billy. Thank y'all for being here in the house of the Lord with us. And then so many other returning visitors and folk with us today. Thank you for being here. Mark chapter 14. And let's begin in verse number 1. And we'll read down several verses. After 2 days was the feast of Passover and of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." Now listen, verse 3 down through verse number 9. This is where we'll really be preaching from. "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her." Listen to what Jesus said. "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand," notice this, "she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." I'm interested in that phrase. And then I'm interested in verse number 9 where he said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Thank you for standing out of reverence for reading God's word. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, please help us today. Take the word of God and make it alive. Lord, as Jesus is alive and his life is alive in ours, I pray the word of God, Lord, would be on fire this morning, that, Lord, it would burn in our hearts, that, Lord, as we magnify the Lord and what he did for our eternal redemption, may the eyes of sinners and, Lord, those that are blinded be open. Lord, may they see the light of the glorious gospel. And, Lord, I pray this morning that even for the very first time, that they would realize that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And that no man, no woman, no boy or girl can come unto the Father but by him. Lord, I pray in the hearts of the saints of God there be a reviving work of gratitude and worship and praise for that Jesus has done on our behalf. Take this illustration that you've shown us. Lord, I pray this morning that, Lord, it would bless, Lord, those that have come out this morning. And all that you do, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In verses 1 and 2, we understand that in the context of Mark 14 and the verses we've read, And we're coming, we realize the coming and the impending death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is at hand. He's going to be betrayed on the following day. He's going to be crucified. He'll be crucified. His life will be laid down. He will die. He will be buried. But on the third day, he's coming up out of the grave. And so all of this in the text in which we've read, all of that is in the shadow. All of that is just around the turn. All of that is just literally hours from taking place. And so we're interested in that matter as that is approaching. We find that these chief scribes and priests, that they're trying to find the opportunity. They're going to find that in Judas and in the evil work that he along with they are going to do. There is a woman in verses 3-9 that is doing a good work. Jesus said that in verse number 6. She hath wrought a good work on me. And so, Brother Jackie, in light of the evil work of the sinners and the doubters and the rejectors, there is a good work being done by this dear saint and child of God that I believe had been saved in the early part of the Lord's earthly life and ministry. And what a work she done. In fact, you can read about it in Luke chapter number 7. And I believe this is the same woman in this text. It's 6 months into the Lord's public ministry. Had came to the Lord and found forgiveness of her sin. Amen. At the feet of the Lord Jesus, she was weeping. When she comes in the end of the Lord's ministry 3 years later, she is not a weeping sinner, but she is a worshiping saint. And she's come to worship her Savior because, amen, of what he is getting ready to do on her behalf. And what a deed she done. Again, Jesus said, she wrought a good work on me. Amen. What she has done, she's not done it for attention. She's not done it for accolades. She's not done it. And the crowd would be pleased with her, but she has done this upon her Savior. And notice the purpose of the woman that is coming to Christ in this way. Jesus is going to give us some insight as to what was motivating this great scene of worship. Look with me in verse number 8. Jesus said, she hath done what she could. And I take that to mean probably several things. I'll just throw this out this morning that I believe that Jesus is saying she's done all she could. Amen. There's nothing she can do to prevent my death. There's nothing that she can do to stop what is coming. She understands. She knows the hour is at hand. It has dawned on her. She has done all that she could do. This is the last thing that she can do is to anoint her Savior and her Lord. Why would she do this? Jesus said, again in verse number 8, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. In other words, this woman knew Jesus was going to die. And this woman understood that in dying, he was going to be buried. And Jesus places a great emphasis that what motivated her heart was the death and the burying that was to come. And I would say this morning that the matter of his burying and the purpose of the anointing that she did is that we must understand the burial of Christ is what connects his death to his resurrection. And we understand the burial means that he's going to die, but his burial is going to be, the tomb is going to be, amen, the vehicle, if you will, the means by which the Son of God is going to raise from the grave. Amen. After 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. Is that a blessing? Amen. Do you see the gospel right there? Amen. She's doing this for not just for his death, but for his burying. Understand, his death is coming and that the resurrection soon will follow. Now, what Christ referenced the ongoing preaching in verse number 9. Amen. Notice how this is worded. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel is preached, and he said throughout the whole world, amen, this gospel. And so he's referencing the fact that the gospel has been preached. And yet when I read these verses on the surface, there is not an indication that there is a preaching of any message that has gone on. It doesn't seem like the scripture has been opened. It doesn't seem like there's been an expounding and an exposition of any kind of spiritual truth from the Word of God, much less the gospel being preached. And other than the fact that Jesus said, she did this beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Amen. The gospel being that of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that He has provided is the power of God unto salvation to us that are sinners. And so we understand that though there does not appear to be any message preached, much less the gospel message, evidently, amen, the gospel must have been preached in this text somewhere. Amen. For the Lord to say, this is not the last time you're going to hear the gospel. It's going to be preached throughout all the world. And may I say, the gospel has been preached throughout all the world. Amen. But I'm interested in this morning an illustration. Amen. As to the gospel, Christ's death, Christ's burial, and Christ's resurrection. I believe this morning this woman preached the gospel in what she brought. And what she did with what she brought. Amen. The gospel seems to have been preached in this text in the bringing of the alabaster box of spikenard. Amen. Christ said, what you have just seen has been done in light of my bearing. Thus the bearing connects the death and the resurrection. Amen. What she has done, what she has wrought is a good work that has been wrought upon me. And so here's how I wrote it down. What she did with what she brought was a revelation of what Jesus was fixing to do. Amen. The alabaster box. Amen. The alabaster box and the spikenard contained within it is an illustration of what is getting ready to take place in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've only had this thought since Wednesday, but I began to break out books and try to find, amen, surely there have been somebody who's wrote and somebody who's preached on what I'm getting ready to preach. I can't find it anywhere. I can't find Matthew Henry didn't write about it. Charles Spurgeon didn't write about it. Amen. More modern day writers have not said anything about this. And accurately, this text is about worship. Her worship was motivated by what Christ was going to do. And in fact, what she did with what she brought, amen, was a message of the gospel that was going to be preached. And so for the Lord to help me for just, amen, just a few minutes this morning, I want to preach on this thought, the gospel in the alabaster box. The gospel in the alabaster box. Amen. You see, this alabaster box was filled with spikenard. And we understand today, amen, that I believe the spikenard, amen, is a, we'll see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that my friend the spikenard was in an alabaster box that eventually was broken and released upon all that would come. Amen. Around that scene and around, amen, that room and around that place that, amen, there would be a great effect not only in Christ, but, amen, upon the woman as a saint that was there and upon Simon the leper, upon the disciples, upon all the critics that, amen, it would testify Jesus died, was buried, and my friend raised again. Number one, if you're taking notes, write it down or put it in your heart. I draw your attention today in the gospel in the alabaster box, what we call the preciousness in the making. A preciousness in the making. I see a picture here of the death of Christ. The Bible said within her alabaster box, and but Geraldine was filled with what the Word of God said, ointment of spikenard, very precious. And so my mind began to think about the spikenard. Amen. You say, preacher, how is that a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, spikenard is from what is called the nard plant. And in the days, the ancient days of Christ, they would receive that from a very distant land. In fact, it would come out of India. That's where they would receive the root and the nard plant. And then they would put it through a process that would turn it into a sort of spikenard and oil. And I thought about this, that in the preciousness in the making, did not our Savior come from a far country? Amen. Did He not come, my friend, from a great distance? Amen. From heaven's portals in heaven's glory. Amen. He left to come down to where we were. Amen. When the Bible said it was ointment of spikenard, that is, this had gone through a refining process. And it was not just any old nard that, amen, somebody can make in their basement or out in their shack. Amen. But it literally means pure nard. Amen. A purity that, amen, there was no adulteration to it. There was no defilement to it. There. Amen. It was 100% proof from the nard plant. And I thought about our Savior. Amen. How there is no defilement in Him. Amen. There is no sin in Him. Amen. He is pure and He is altogether lovely. Yet, amen, there is no guile, no fault. Amen. Oh, He is the perfect, pure Lamb of God. Amen. That has come to provide our salvation. Amen. I thought about this, that, amen, not only did it come from a great distant land, and that this ointment of spikenard, it indicates that it was of the purest quality, like our Savior. But part of the way in which they would go through taking that nard, amen, they would use the root of that plant. And I thought about our Savior. Are y'all listening? Isaiah 53 said, "Is a root out of a dry ground." Amen. Oh, He didn't seem to be very lovely to the world. Amen. He seemed to be, my friend, amen, just a common thing. Amen. But that root out of a dry ground, out of Him, amen, came a glorious redemption. Amen. You said, "Preacher, what about the process of the making?" They said they would take that nard plant, the root of it. Amen. It would come from a very, very long distant country. Amen. It was going to be processed with great purity. Amen. It was going to be a root that, amen, would be crushed. Amen. They would put it in a vat and they would begin to press upon it. They would begin to squeeze upon it. They would begin to take, amen, an anvil and begin to beat upon that root. And the more they beat on that root, the more battered it would become. And the more they would squeeze upon that root, amen, the more the oil would begin to pour forth. Amen. Can I say 2,000 years ago, amen, is that not what our Savior did? Amen. My friend, He went into Gethsemane. Amen. And the agony began. Amen. To squeeze His soul. Amen. Till He began to pray and cry, as it were, sweating out great drops of blood. Amen. He was betrayed and led, amen, to Gabbatha's whipping post. And there, my friend, they without mercy beat the back of our Lord and Savior. And my friend, the more they beat up, amen, the more battered He was. And the more blood began to flow with. Amen. Oh, my friend, can you see the root out of a dry ground? Amen. Can you see the Savior in the spikenard? Amen. Can you see Him as they plant a crown of thorns upon His head, and the blood and the sweat and the toil begins to run down, amen, His perfect brow? And you see Him as they pluck His beard and they smite His face,
how that my friend, they are beating that one that has come to die for their sin. And my friend, can you see and say, amen, they smite him in the head with a ring, Ted. And you see him as they take the cross and bear it upon his back. All the weight and the pressure, amen, all the weight that is upon him and is pressing him down. Amen, can you see as he lays his hands in the top and Golgotha's hill? And my friend, they take the nails and they drive them in his hands and they drive them in his feet and they lift him between heaven and earth. Amen. And all that my friend he had endured and all the beating that he took and all the pain and the suffering and the agony. Amen. He was, amen, going through the preciousness in the making for our redemption. Amen. I'm glad he suffered it all. Amen. The choir sang a moment ago, he suffered it all because he loved me. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a gospel, and there is the gospel in the alabaster box. What was contained in that? Amen. Testifies in our Lord. Amen. He died for you and for me. Notice what the text said. The Bible said it was ointment of spikenard. Very precious. Amen. This, my friend, this particular spikenard, again, it wasn't some homebrew. Amen. Somebody who knew what they were doing. Amen. Some sort of apothecary. A master has been involved in the making of this spikenard. Amen. Somebody who knew what he was doing. And when that friend, he got done pressing and he got done beating on that brute, amen, what came forth would be of great, great price. Amen. It would be something very, very precious. Amen. I'm reminded of what Peter said. Amen. That my friend, we have redemption. Amen. Not through. Amen. The vain things of our former conversation. It's not silver and it's not gold that buys our redemption and salvation. My friend, rather it is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ slain as a lamb. Amen. I'm glad today. Amen. That when I could not pay the debt for my sin, and Jesus paid a high price. Amen. Jesus paid. Amen. For it with something that was very, very precious. Amen. You say, preacher, amen, what do I got to give to be saved? Amen. You ain't got to give anything. Jesus gave it all. Amen. The cross said it's paid for. Amen. The cross says it's finished. Amen. The cross said Jesus gave. We could never give all we could have gave. Amen. And our righteousness on our very best day. Amen. The value of that, the Word of God said, is that it would be filthy rags. Amen. But what Jesus gave on Calvary's hill, amen, was a very, very precious thing. Amen. I'm glad and thankful for the preciousness in the making. Jesus died for us. See the preciousness in the making, but amen, notice with me this morning, not only the preciousness in the making, notice with me the placement in the taking. Once this, hallelujah, once this root was beat out, and my friend was pressed upon, my friend after it was, amen, considered to be of the purest form and a very, very precious price. This nard, ointment of spikenard was, in our text, it was placed within an alabaster box. You say, preacher, what is an alabaster box? And I know that maybe in our modern way of thinking, amen, you're thinking maybe of some sort of wooden box, a coffin type of thing, but when you study alabaster, you'll find, amen, that the placement and the taking, then this spikenard being put in the alabaster box, it was a stone container. Amen. Alabaster, the alabaster box was a stone storage container that was made of Egyptian marble. Amen. It had, I'm about to shout, it had to be hewn out of the rock. Amen. Somebody who knew what they were doing, amen, had to hew Mithraim, amen, a place out of the rock. Now you understand this, that when our Savior died, and he was placed in a stone container. Amen. Joseph of Arimathea. Amen. The Bible said that, amen, he had hewn a place. Amen. He had hewn a tomb wherein never a man had laid before. Amen. In those days, they would have family graves. Amen. You remember in the days of David and the kings and how, amen, they would be buried in the sepulchres of the kings. Amen. And they would, amen, they would hew out those tombs. And when granddad died, they'd throw him in there. Amen. And when his boy died, they'd throw him in there with it. And they would have these great tombs. Amen. But the Bible said, amen, Joseph of Arimathea went and he hewed that stone. Amen. And he created a stone container. And never no man had ever laid there before. Amen. You see, the Lord, I'm about to shout. Amen. He came into this world by a virgin womb. Amen. And he went out of this world through a virgin tomb. Amen. No man had ever been there before. Amen. And in the alabaster box, the gospel is being preached. Amen. That Christ, his placement, amen, would be within the rock. Amen. I thought about this. It was a sealed container. The alabaster box, once the ointment was placed, amen, and taken in place within that stone container, the lid would be put upon it, and a seal would, my friend, be put upon it, amen, to preserve what was on the inside. Amen. I thought about our Savior. Are y'all listening? You say, you keep saying that, and that's all I got today. Amen. I ain't preaching about me. I ain't trying to tell you how good a church we got. All I'm trying to tell you, when I think about a sealed container, I think about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, amen, going to Pilate to beg the body of the Lord Jesus, amen, and say, can we have his body? Oh, leave him on the cross. And Pilate said, you can have it. Amen, you can have him. And they took him down and they carried him to, amen, that stone container. All of a sudden, some of them Pharisees come to Pilate and say, and we remember what that man said. Amen. He said he's going to get up in 3 days. And we don't want his disciples coming, amen, and stealing away his body. And what did Pilate say? He sent some soldiers down there, amen, to guard and to keep the tomb. And he said, you seal it and make it sure as you can. Amen. Do you see the gospel in the alabaster box? Amen. It was sealed to keep us the spikenard in Pilate. Amen. Sealed Jesus' tomb as sure as they could. But may I say, amen, this alabaster box, it not only was a stone container, and it was a sealed container, but may I say it was only a storage container. Amen. That spikenard, my friend, amen, you didn't put it in there for it to stay in there forever. Amen. In fact, we understand, amen, it was not intended to keep something forever, but only until an appointed time. Amen. There's a time the seal was going to be broke. There's a time the lid was going to come off. There's a time, my friend, its purpose, amen, was going to be poured out again. Amen. Can I say, amen, yes, Jesus did. Amen. We see the placement of his ticket. They put him in a stone container. They put him in a sealed container. And it was only going to be a borrowed tomb. All the spikenard's going to get out. Amen. The pure one's coming out. Amen. I'm glad that the tomb provided a way for the Lord to prove that he was who he said he was. Storage container. He wasn't going to need it long. There wasn't no Roman seal going to hold him in. Amen. They could have put the might of the Roman army, amen, around that tomb. They weren't keeping him from coming out. Amen. He only needed 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. And by the way, just in passing, amen, if you can get 3 days and 3 nights and kill the Lord on Friday, amen, then you're going to have to show me that math. Amen. But 3 days and 3 nights is in the heart of the earth. Amen. He only needed it a little while. He had to go down the gates of hell, take the keys from death and sin and hell. Amen. He's got to lead captivity captive. He's got to preach the gospel down there. Amen. In the deepest part, man, friend. And thank God, I'm glad. Amen. Our Lord, He only needed that place for a little while. Amen. At the appointed time, He's coming out. That brings me to my third point, and I'm done. Somebody say, what in the world happened to Pastor to be done already? Amen. We see the Lord's death. Amen. In the preciousness of the making. And then we see, my friend, the Lord's burial and the placement in the taking. Amen. And so, amen, the resurrection, y'all already ahead of me. Amen. But consider the gospel in the alabaster box of the picture in the breaking.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen. The picture in the breaking. You see, after, amen, in this text, this woman did something that was very, very unusual.
Right.
She didn't just take the lid off. The Bible said she broke the box.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. I'm trying to behave myself today. You see, after you break something, there is no intention and no way of putting it back in. And I say Jesus broke out the grave. He wasn't intending on going back in. There wasn't no way to put Him back in. Amen. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Amen. He broke forth. Amen. The devil couldn't put Him back in. Death couldn't shove Him back in. Thank God, there is the picture in the blanket. I am the one who will evermore be alive. Amen. I've got the keys. Amen. You couldn't put me in there if you tried. Amen. What a picture in the blanket.
Amen.
I'm almost done. Amen. May I say the picture in the breaking is that we understand, I don't know how big this alabaster box was. We know Mary, amen, in John chapter number 12, that she had some sort of container that held 1 pound of ointment. 1 pound, that's a lot. That ain't a sample size down at the, amen, the Belk's perfume counter. You get a pound of it, buddy, you've got something big. I don't know how big this woman's alabaster box was, but I know this, she poured every last drop out. My friend, when she break it in that nard root that had been turned to spikenard pure and precious and priceless. And my friend, just a lovely picture of the Lord Jesus, amen, having been placed in the taking, is now broke forth. Amen. Can you imagine the effect that would have had, amen, throughout all the house, anyone in the room, anybody in the vicinity of the breaking of the box? Amen, would have made a drastic impact on their life. And I say one day, amen, 25 years ago by faith, amen, I got around the busted tomb. Amen, I got around the math friend by faith. Amen, the empty tomb and the breaking forth in the Son of God for my salvation and my justification. It had a great impact and effect on my life. I was studying this week and I preach this text so different on Wednesday night. I can't wait to preach it to y'all. It'll be a part of our Mark study. We're only in chapter 2, so you'll have to come back in 5 years to hear it. It's an awesome message.
worshiping Christ outside the box. But Tim in my study on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday getting ready. Now I'm done. I meant to be done 4 minutes ago, but you don't want me to leave this out. I'm telling you, riding back home on Wednesday night, the Lord put all this in my heart. Here's what I found. It wasn't widely practiced. One man I read after, he said there is reason to believe and evidence that there was a custom that some practiced back in those ancient times. That a young lady would be given an alabaster box with, it could be spikenard or some sort of ointment, and they would take that and knowing the value of it, they would store that and keep that until a day when a young man would come into their little world and that young lady would catch his eye. He would begin to be interested and he'd work up the nerve to say, I love you. Will you marry me? Amen. And if she was to answer in the affirmative what some believe was a custom, that young lady would run back into her house, grab that alabaster box, and she would come to the feet of that man and throw it down and break it at his feet to say, yes, I will have you.
Amen.
On the way home, Brother Jerry, I got thinking, I didn't have nothing to offer the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
I didn't have nothing. I was broke. Amen. My daddy didn't have nothing to give me. I was just an old sinner boy. Headed to hell, deserved to be there. In fact, unlovely, wicked to the core, full of rebellion. So, but you as a preacher's son, you're a pretty good old boy. Amen. That ain't what the Word of God said. The Word of God said there's none righteous, no not one. There's none good, no not what. My friend, I thought about riding down the road as I gave that illustration. It's a wonderful illustration in the life of a child of God in worship, breaking the alabaster box as this woman did. But when it comes to the gospel, I was riding down the road and I thought, Sister Candy, I didn't have nothing to give him. Buddy, I'm telling you, I about jumped Black Mountain coming up. The Lord said, boy, I know you didn't have nothing. That's why I sent my son 2,000 years ago. Amen. When you didn't have nothing, he wanted you. When you didn't have a thing to break in his faith, and you didn't have anything they could bury, amen, he came down and he died for you and he was buried for you and he raised for you. Amen, he wasn't expecting you to break anything. He broke it all that day. He brought the alabaster box and said, I love you. Will you have me? I didn't have to bring anything to his faith. He brought it all. He brought it all. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about to lose myself. Amen. I'm about to act up this morning. I'm glad. Amen. When I didn't have any. Hey, sinner friend, you ain't got anything to bring to him. You ain't got anything that would make him happy. Amen. He brought it all. He brought it all. Jesus broke it. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Came up out of the grave. When Jesus come up out of the grave, amen, he broke it at the feet of every man and said, I'm not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen, and all you got to do is say, I will, I will, I will. Amen, if he do that for me, I will definitely take him. Didn't have nothing. Didn't have nothing. I had zero. But he gave it all. Ain't you glad he broke it? Ain't you glad he broke out one day?
What a savior!
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand.